listeners, my name is Charity Hall, and I'm a friend of Jennifer Malik's, and I had the honor of finishing St. Ives Memory and reading it through before publishing date. Tonight, we wanted to do a brief interview to kind of get a behind-the-scenes look at Jennifer as an author, and also the process of writing this book, as well as understanding the prior books that influenced St. Ives Memory as well. So how are you tonight, Jen?
I am doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm good. I just finished your book Saturday night, and about 2 nights ago, and we were able to chat a little bit about it, but I'm really excited to hear more about you as an author, and also if you can just give people who maybe don't know your background a little bit of how you got started writing and kind of what brought you to this point.
Yeah, so it's crazy because this is now my third published book. which I would not have thought 3 years ago when I graduated college that I would have three books published. But it all kind of began long before college in high school when I first started writing my very first book and then decided to go about publishing after I finished college. And from there, have just really delved a lot into historical fiction and just exploring different ways to tell stories in a meaningful and hopeful light. And I love it. I love story writing. I try to stop and run away from it, but it always finds me.
Tell us a little bit about your previous books, just so people who maybe aren't familiar with them, but just kind of gives us background of what your actual, like you said, historical fiction, but what your background is.
Yeah. So my first book I wrote in, 2016, and that was Unkept Secrets from the War, which follows during World War II times. And then my last book was A Song for Psalm, which I published in 2017. And that is shortly after World War I during the jazz era. So we see definitely a transition in time from the Edwardian values to an entirely new group of people after the war. And so that was really fun to explore. And then this book is actually a sequel to A Song for Psalm, St. Ives Memory Is. And it is set 20 years later, shortly after World War II.
Wonderful. So I remember over the last year and a half, probably, after reading A Song for Psalm and after it was published, after the launch was all complete and hearing people love the book and reading it. And even towards the end of your writing of that book and publishing that one, you were so excited because you already had some of the plot line for St. Ives Memory, your third book. So tell us a little bit about how that got started. Like, I'm super curious, especially after reading the book, where does that even begin? I'm like, I like to write like blog posts and things, but not like a actual book from start to finish of 350 pages. So where did that plot line come from? How was that born?
It's interesting because every single time I finish a book, it's a grueling process, and I tell myself I'm not going to write another book for ages. And this time around, it was so interesting because I hadn't even published A Song for Psalm yet, and I was already outlining a third book. And kind of what I've told people in the past, I feel as though it's not that I write the stories, but the stories find me. And when the stories find me, I realize that I have to put this down on paper or else it's going to escape me. And so that's how it all started. And I really enjoyed writing this book. It was the longest of all three books. It took me 16 months to write and edit, which is interesting because it is the shortest of all three books. And But it took the longest, mainly because it is a sequel and everything had to line up to the first book.
The connection to the first book are very
significant. Yeah.
Relationships to psychological continuity, I guess.
Exactly.
The influences.
Even just down to the characters realizing, no, this character would not say this, even though that, you know, and they're 20 years older. So having to, within a month's time, go into the future 20 years and having someone where their psychological makeup and who they are as an individual and as a character is entirely different. It was definitely an interesting process.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So not to add spoilers, but the heroine or the protagonist of the book is Rose in your second book, or in St. Ives and Marie. And how was it writing for her? Like, you had all these characters in A Song for Soam, and you're bringing them, like you said, 20 years forward, bringing Rose from a toddler or a baby into life as a young adult. How was that writing? Do you feel like Rose is a type of you, or is she a mix of different people? Like, did you create her to be that? What was the idea for her as a protagonist?
Yeah, so I mean, I think a lot of people, it's hard, I think, for an author not to insert yourself in the story. And you may insert yourself in the protagonist, or you may insert yourself in multiple characters. And that definitely took place. And of course, I found a little bit of myself in Rose, and even things I wish I could be within her. But I just wanted it to be a journey where she's gone through a lot of difficult times, and that, you know, we see in A Song for Soam, her birth mother was killed tragically, and her birth father then left her with her adopted parents, and she's never met her birth father. And so we see in the prelude of the beginning of St. Ives' Memory is she learns about Charles during the midst of World War II, is when her parents decide to tell her. She's a grown adult, and she never knew that her birth father existed. And to just go your entire life thinking that you're someone else, and then suddenly know you're someone else completely different, is very confusing and is just a journey in and of itself. And in order, I think, for us to understand ourselves better, we go back to the past. And so we look back, you know, whether it's in our family genealogy and understanding, you know, how much we even want to know our own parents' stories to better understand who we are. And so that's kind of where the journey lies. And yeah.
That makes sense. In the beginning of the book, I think I was struck by the brokenness of Rose. Like you talked about, she just found out this about her birth father, and I think a lot of questions arise in the very beginning of the book. We see a lot of answers at the end of Song for Soam, and then St. Ives' Memory picks up with a lot of questions, is what I feel like. And the brokenness, and yet you see throughout the book there's an overarching theme of forgiveness, I think of hope that she maybe didn't expect to find. What was that like in writing it? Is that something that you do the characters kind of take you along with them as in the way that you're writing, or is it very like, do you see the characters, I guess, as their names and as their personalities and the psychology of the relationship is developing, or do you see those characters in terms of those themes of forgiveness and hope and then write them into that? How does that work for you?
Yeah,
Or
so
what is the personal connection there?
yeah, definitely. I think each of my books, my purpose in writing historical fiction is to, and I've said this so many times and said it to so many different people, but I write fiction to bring hope to others. So that is the purpose before I start any story, that it has to have some redeeming quality. It has to bring hope. And especially if you're dealing with brokenness, which if you are a human being who's living on Earth, you've gone through brokenness, you've gone through broken times, and that's why we turn to stories. We turn to stories because we hope to find a redeeming quality, and hope within life. And so that was the entire purpose of writing St. Ives' Memory, was to take, you know, as you said, in A Song for Soam, we see there's answers at the end, but it's her father's, her parents' answers. They found their answer. But a lot of the times is children are affected by their parents' choices.
Makes sense.
And so years down the road, now Rose, the daughter, is having to go through her own journey of finding her own answers to life and to the cards that life has dealt her through her parents' choices. And I think a lot of us can relate to that. And so that's kind of where the story just like weaved in and through it. And I mean, when I first start writing, I don't know where it's going. I'm not one of the people who outlines a story and has the beginning to end already written, but I definitely have an idea of where it's going. And so my purpose as a writer is I want to be along for the journey as with the reader. So that's why you're going to see twists and turns, because I'm going along a journey as a writer and
Right.
want to invite the reader into that as well.
That makes a lot of sense. Your book, you use the word redeeming, and I think that that is probably the best word to weave in the brokenness, the redemption, the forgiveness, the hope, the love, all of the different elements of the story, the romance of the story. That's not just the romantic love, but the romance that we're caught up in terms of the intimacy of the relationships that are throughout the whole book. And it's just a beautiful read, but one of the things I think it was the biggest twist in the book itself, and I don't want to just name it per se by spoiler, but the aspect of deception in the book, and how that plays into Rose's life in the beginning of the book, towards the end, her willingness to move beyond that deception or to choose to believe in second chances. What was that like as an author to write? Like, is this something that is reflected from your own life? Where does that come from? How do you reconcile that? I know that faith is a huge part of your life, that you're Christians, we both believe in God, we walk a Christian life, but as an author writing a historical fiction book, what does that look like? What does that feel like? How do you write that in? I mean, it feels like you have personal experience with it, knowing the depth of how the book was written.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have a lot of personal experiences that have shaped this story, and anyone who knows my personal story and the brokenness I've gone through will probably be able to appreciate the book, I think, in a different way, and being able to choose life, to be able to choose hope, to be able to choose second chances, even when the people you love have hurt you the most. And
I like that emphasis on the power of choice.
it is the power of choice, because each day we wake up and we have a choice to either dwell in the circumstances that we are in, or dwell in the negative emotions, or we can choose to place our hope in something that is outside of ourselves. And as you said, I choose to place that hope in God, and I wanted a character to have that journey, to hope in something other than that. And even, those who necessarily, maybe they don't know God or have God, like, just recognizing that you can each day make a choice for yourself. Like, you have to be the one to make that choice. Even to be in a relationship with God, you have to be the one to make that choice. No one else is going to make that choice for you. If you're living in brokenness and pain, and even just situations where it is almost impossible to forgive the person who has hurt you, or has, as we see in the book, deceived you, it's what are you going to do with that? And so I think it is so important to read stories and recognize and see. Even when I was writing it, I wrestled with it, because Rose made some decisions that even in my own heart, I was like, I don't know if I would have been able to do that. If I was her, I don't know if I would have been able to do that. But then I look at my own life and kind of see, but there's been situations where you were able to move beyond the situation. You were able to move beyond what laid in front of you, which could have broken you. It could have destroyed you. But you chose something better, And so I think that's my main thing with the entire story, is I want people to realize that we can give people second chances, and that how much more should we have grace for one another when God, who is perfect and wonderful and created us, has grace for us daily.
Absolutely.
So grace is definitely a big part of the message too.
It really is, because we don't see Rose always making the best decision immediately. And yet, like you said, I see her making decisions, and I'm like, I don't know that I could trust that, like, in terms of second chances. And it's beautiful. It's realistic because the journey there is not a straight line. And it's very realistic, and I think it gives hope and inspiration in that way. And I think the reader walks away with inspiration. I finished it late Saturday night, and I know I was very, very inspired. Even at the next day going into worship was just knowing that there is purpose in the pain that we walk through.
Yes.
And the book really does highlight that, from Rose's parents' pain and how that shaped her life, as well as like her birth mother, as well as her adoptive mother.
Yes.
Like it really shows throughout the story. And again, the power of second chances and of redemption. It's an overarching theme. Is there anything else that you want us to know about the book?
Oh man. I just want to say it's a fun read. I think it's the most lighthearted.
It's charming. It's truly charming. The dialogue is just fantastic.
Yeah, there's a lot of wit. There's some really fun characters that you're going to be introduced to that were so much fun to write. As an author, I got so excited every single time.
It's mysterious. There's some mystery in there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. A lot of mystery and a lot of just really quirky characters too, which is fun. I think this book had the most quirky characters out of all three books as well. And yeah, I really do believe that people will enjoy it, especially if you liked A Song for Soame. It's a sequel to it and just kind of carries the spirit of that book over, but in a lighter way, because in A Song for Soame, it's told through Lloyd's point of view. So it's told through a male's point of view, a little more cynical, you know, and we see his entire journey.
Then
Rose is completely opposite of her father. She is very just high-spirited, more optimistic than most. As a quote in the book, and that a lot of people point to, is she always sees the best in others. And I think that comes from her background, is because she's gone through a lot of brokenness and seen pain, not only because of the war, but because of her own parents' lives and where she comes from, that she chooses to see the best in others because that is a way that she copes with the world around her. I think it's a fun read, fun journey.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I think the dialogue in A Song for Soame could be very heavy.
Yes, it is.
And Lloyd, I feel like, was more of that melancholy artistic. Mm-hmm. And Rose is just that vivacious, just very lively female. Yeah,
very spirited. She has...
Very.
She has Cherry in her, even though, you know, she didn't know her mother. Like, I wanted to bring Cherry back into the story through Rose.
Yeah, and it's very... I feel like I was probably more impacted by St. Ives' memory, because maybe of the finality of it too. You got the closure that wasn't there in the first book.
Yes, yeah.
But I love that lighthearted aspect of it too.
Yeah, tons of fun.
Well, to all those listening, happy reading. Pick up your copy of St. Ives' Memory. And if you haven't read Song for Soame, make sure you do that too.
Yes.
Good night, Jen.
Good night.